All right, so if you've got your book, turn to page, what is it, page 3? Yep. We're going to start with friendship. All right, there was a school teacher who on every test would ask this question. What is the most important word in the English language? It was this professor's opinion, and he said this. He said relationships. Now, you may have said, like, the word a or the or is or something like that, or trying to figure out something more like love. But he says relationships are the most important things. That relationships means connecting with other people. So that's your fill-in. So maybe you like to hang out with your friends. Maybe you like to talk on the phone, or maybe you text, or maybe you just get together, actually see each other in person, go hang out, watch a movie, go to a friend's house, have a sleepover. Jesus chose his disciples that they might be with him. He also enjoyed friendship. Did you guys know that? That Jesus had like the 12 disciples, but he also had three guys of that group that he connected with a little bit deeper. Peter, James, and John were kind of more like on that inner circle. And then Jesus had bigger groups of friends too. There was like a group of 75 people that helped do some of the ministry stuff that Jesus was helping do. And then obviously they're not going to be as like tight friends, but you know, Jesus has, big crowds would come to him too, right? So maybe more like acquaintances. So think about yourself. Do you have like maybe groups of friends that maybe you have a few really tight ones. Maybe you've got a handful of like ones that you just like to hang with. And then maybe you've got ones that are just kind of acquaintances. And then there's like strangers, right? So I'm going to guess you probably don't know everybody at your school or probably don't like everybody at your school. But maybe you've got a handful of friends. Maybe you've got 5 or 6 people that you like to chill with, hang with, do stuff with. Or maybe it's smaller than that. Relationships, whether they are good ones or bad ones, are the essence of life. That even if you try to avoid them, you just can't. You're going to have to interact with people, right? And friendships, believe it or not, are really going to help you get through life, I hope. Here's something interesting that Aristotle said. He said, without friends, no one would choose to live, though he had all other goods. Now, think about that for a sec. If you had all the worldly possessions, but no one to share them with, no one to play with, no one to hang out with, no one to talk to, it's just you and all your stuff, it might not be very satisfying in the end. If there's nobody to share it with, nobody to be with. When relationships turn bad or when they turn sour, life can be miserable. You guys ever had a friendship that went bad or went south, or maybe your friendship ended in some way? And then no amount of fame or fortune could replace, that person. Now think about, you ever had a friend move away? When I was in third grade, my dad worked for the University of Akron, the biology department, and he was asked to go to Sweden for a year and to live overseas and do heart research with scientists from their universities. So at the age of 8, my sister and I hopped on a plane with our family, and we moved to another country for a year. And I was freaked out as an 8-year-old because I had to leave my friends. I had to leave my cat. I had to leave things that were normal, like food that I liked, and go to another foreign country that where I felt like a stranger and didn't fit in and didn't know the language and didn't understand their money system and didn't like their food, right? Yes, so I lived on hot dogs for a very, very long time. Not the best diet, but it's better than raw fish, at least in my opinion as an 8-year-old. So how about you? Were you the one that had to move away? Or maybe you had a friend that had to leave? Or maybe you just ended up going to different schools? Had a really good buddy named Mike growing up. Went to kindergarten together. Shortly after that, about 2 years, 3 years into the whole school thing, he ended up going to a private school across town. And I was like super bummed because I liked hanging with my buddy Mike. And so maybe you're some of your friends, maybe you've moved school districts, or maybe your family's moved neighborhoods. That can be hard, right? All right, so we're going to talk about friends and friendship. We need different kinds of friends. So maybe talk to me. What kinds of friends do you have? Like, what does it mean you need different kinds of friends? What do you think? What kinds of friends are there? Crazy friends? Super friends? Silly friends? Not friends. So that would be an enemy? Lots and lots of friends. What kind, though, Patrick? Insane friends. Friends that like to do stupid, crazy stuff. Okay. Shy friends. Okay, maybe friends that what? Okay, maybe serious ones that maybe are willing to go a little bit deeper with you. Okay. What other types of friends might you have? No? Does that cover most of it? Chick-fil-A friends. All right, so maybe you have environments. Maybe you got, all right, I'm friends with these people on the sports team, or I'm friends with these people at work, or I'm friends with these people in my neighborhood. Maybe you got different kinds of groups of friends. But underneath it all, you might have a best friend. You might have a friend that really actually knows you really well. Did you know that there are some friends that, kind of like you guys talked about, that I would call velvet friends, friends that are silly, fun, easy to hang with, playful, but not super deep. And then you might have some sandpaper friends that actually help shape your character, and that they'll get into your business a little bit and be like, hey, man, like, why are you cussing and swearing like that at your parents? That's just not cool. And they rub a little bit harder against you and shape your character a little bit, okay? Sandpaper friends might be people who are also trying to follow God and maybe call you out on some of the sin in your life, right? Or maybe it's an adult mentor, okay? And maybe you've got a coach or maybe a teacher or some. Maybe it's a youth leader that maybe rubs a little bit harder on your skin and shapes your character into a better person, right? Now, that may not be as comfortable as hanging with your, you know, lazy boy couch friends, right? But sometimes they're good for us. Here's what Ecclesiastes 4, 9 to 10 says. So somebody read that for us. Who wants to read that one?
Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls, has no one to help him up.
So I think over the summer, somebody shared that verse with us too when they were teaching. I think it's a good one though. Can you picture the idea though? If you fall down, you got nobody to help you out, right? It goes on and talks about how can one person stay warm alone? Like on a cold winter night and you're out in the cold and the snow, like sometimes you need to like huddle up with somebody, right? To stay warm. All right, some people avoid relationships. You know anybody like that? People who just like to be alone, just kind of some loners. People who kind of drift off to the edge of the room or maybe out into the hall or just don't want to be around. Maybe they think that it requires too much time or risk or effort or trust or vulnerability. It's impossible to totally exist, though, in isolation. You guys remember this movie, Castaway? A while back, it's been a long while, actually. Tom Hanks was in a movie where he was on an airplane. The airplane crashes out over the ocean, and he ends up being the lone survivor on an island by himself with all of the packages and luggage from the plane, but none of the people. Okay, everyone perishes. He survives and has to live on his own on this island, hoping someday that he might be rescued. He gets so lonely that he makes his own imaginary friend. You guys look at that picture up there. What was the name of the friend? Wilson, right? The name of the volleyball, right? He cut his hand and put his handprint on it and then turned it into a face. Later, he gives it, like, hair. And then he talks to it, like, throughout the movie. It's about the only dialogue because a lot of the movie is really quiet because he's just there building stuff, making stuff, trying to survive. And then there's an interesting moment where he's on a raft trying to leave the island, and he loses Wilson, right? And he's like, it's breaking your heart over this volleyball, right, that had become his friend. Here's the point, though. Even in our isolation, sometimes we, like in the movie, he made up his own friend because he needed companionship. And part of his survival, I think, was part of the reason that he had made this made-up friend, right? Any of you guys ever been lost in a store? When you're little? Okay. Ever been afraid to be alone? All right, seriously, ever been afraid to be alone? I mean, even as an adult, sometimes I'll get afraid to be alone, okay? That there is strength in having relationships and friendships with people. All right, here's a great verse in Proverbs. This is actually one of the memory verses on your keychain. If you're looking at those or trying to memorize some of those, this is a great one about friendship. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. What does that mean? Like if you got two swords going clanging back and forth together, or two knives or whatever it might be, as each iron goes back and forth on the other iron, what does it do? It leaves a mark, but it may also sharpen the blade. The more you go back and forth to try to, yeah. So how does that work with friendship? Okay, so you're investing in each other, right? And you're making each other better. Helping each other when you're down, when one is strong, maybe one is weak, and you help each other out that way. Raise your hand if friends have made you a better person in some way. Yeah, me too. All right, so we're going to take a quick look at this example. I don't know if you guys remember Ben Mosier. Used to go to our church, is now a student down at Ohio State. He actually wrote an article that's on our website. If you go on our website and look at some of the blog articles or some of the student stuff for teenagers, if you click on one of those, it'll be about brotherhood. He wrote a really cool article just about friendship, right? There's also a cool story in the Bible. So we're going to take a look at David and Jonathan. Would somebody read 1 Samuel for us? Read both of those verses. Who wants to read that?
There was an immediate bond of love between them, and they became the best of friends. And Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. Jonathan was very fond of David.
All right, you guys, this is not like a romantic love. It's just like a brotherly, sisterly, like we are tight in a brotherhood of friendship or in a sisterhood of friendship. You guys, do you have anybody like that in your life? That you were just super tight with, one of your best buddies? For me, one of my buddies was John. Growing up in high school, him and I were in youth group together. We went on a bunch of mission trips together. We even got this crazy picture of him and I, like, with our arm around each other in Russia on a trip in front of, like, the big, cathedral in Red Square. It's pretty amazing stuff. But John and I did a lot of stuff together. Fun guy to hang with, but also a sandpaper friend who would work on my character and work on my heart, a buddy that I was in accountability with and would check in with me about life, but who also loved Jesus, and we went off to the same college together, you know, and hung out, and John was in my wedding. Just good buddy, long-term friend. I believe we need those kinds of friends, you know, and so David and Jonathan were super tight as well. The Message translation says that Jonathan treasured his relationship with David. Maybe you got friendships like that. We're going to kind of skip ahead a little bit. There's a fill-in, soul and brother. All right, so what about your relationships with your friends? Maybe you've got this kind of contrast. Maybe you have friends that you really get along with. Maybe there's people at school that you would probably call enemies, right? Are your friends real or are your friends fake? That's a good question. Oops, sorry. Are you true friends or are you subtly enemies? Do you have trustworthy and reliable people you can lean on? Or do you have unreliable people in your life? So I'm just going to ask you for some qualities of a good friend. So just shout them out to me. What are some qualities that you might look for in a good friend? Good trust. So someone that you trust. You've got somebody who's trustworthy even. Reliable. Somebody you can count on who's going to be there for you. All right, so you got some common interests. Hard to be friends if you don't like the similar things, right? You may not hang out. So having some common interests. Integrity. Say more about that. What does that mean? If you have a friend who has integrity, Owen, what does that look like? Okay, so this person has good values. Even when people aren't looking, they try to be consistent and try to live out their values in a good way, right? So if you've got integrity, you're probably somebody who's trustworthy and somebody who keeps the word and doesn't break their promises and stuff like that.
Loyal,
yeah. That's a good quality. What do you got, Leah? Respectful. Okay, what else? Courageous? Yeah, that's a good one. All right, so let's flip it. What would be some negative qualities? You're like, man, this is not a good thing to have in a friend. Somebody who's like this. Selfishness. That's a hard one. Everybody's got it, but to different degrees, right? Super selfish people, hard to be friends with. Spread rumors, okay? Talk trash about you behind your back. Gossip, yeah. Negative, just being negative all the time. A liar, somebody who's not truthful, somebody you can't trust. Insensitive. So you share your feelings with them and like and they mock you. Sorry, I didn't mean to scare you, Lauren. A coward, so somebody's not courageous, somebody who's a wimp maybe or weak or doesn't stand up for what they believe. All right, somebody's like super argumentative, right? That makes it hard to be friends with somebody who's always picking a fight. Somebody who's just a butt. Just a pain in the butt. Yeah. A jerk, right? Yeah. Okay, I get that. All right, so how to be a true friend. Here's a quote from Dale Carnegie. It says, you make more friends in 2 months by becoming really, really interested in other people than you can in just 2 years by trying to get other people interested in you. The way to make friends is to be one. What does that mean? You think that's true? Put the other person first in your friendship. Sure. Yeah, so treat others like you want to be treated. Be a good friend to other people first, you know? I don't know if you guys were like this. In middle school, I had a really hard time with friendship stuff. I didn't feel like I had a lot of friends, and I was frustrated with school, and I was growing, and body was changing, and life was changing, and it was just hard. A lot of people would make fun of me and pick on me, and I got braces and glasses and was having a hard time feeling like anybody cared about the things that I cared about. Maybe you've been through a season where you didn't feel like you had a lot of friends. That can be hard. It can be lonely, right? But I didn't really think about this, that for me to build some friendships, maybe I needed to be a good friend to a few people. Friendships that are authentic are hard to come by, but good, right? To have genuine, real, dependable, trustworthy, faithful, reliable. Some of those things you guys already mentioned. We're not going to do the whiteboard thing, but we just kind of shouted out some good qualities. I think you guys had some really good ones there. I already talked to you guys about my friends, my friend John. Currently in my life right now, I've got two buddies, Dave and Matt, that have been great friends, accountability friends, friends who care about my kids and investing in them. We'll go camping together and have cool times like that. Come over and they'll, you know, chill at our house and have pizza and we'll hang out, go on vacation together. Friends that care about the same things I care about, that love God, that want to be good dads, that care about having a good work ethic, that aren't wrapped up in the culture, and that a little bit will do some of that sandpaper stuff and try to make me a better guy. I would encourage you, find some friends that you can do that with. Those who dislike the largest number of people were themselves mostly widely disliked. Did you know that? Sometimes people who are the hardest to get along with oftentimes don't have a lot of friends because they're difficult people, right? Here's a cool verse from Proverbs 17, a friend loves at all times. And if you're kind and only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. And the challenge is to love the people who maybe are harder to love. If we say we love God but hate others, we are liars. So let me ask you, are there some people in your life that are harder to be friends with or harder to care about? I'm not saying you have to be super buddies with them, but you can also not be a jerk to them. You can also try to show a loving, caring spirit to them as well. I think I already shared with you a little bit about my middle school years, but let me give you another example. Do you have people like this at your school? We would be waiting in line for lunch, right, to buy lunch that day. And there would be guys in our lunch line that their whole goal in the lunch line was just to flick you in the back of the ear. Okay? Or to, like, take their knuckles and, like, punch you in the side of the arm, right? Or, like, you're standing there and you got your weight on one leg and they'll come around behind you and knock your knee down so you, like, kind of fall, right? Or you'd be playing outside and they try to, like, tabletop you. One guy will crawl down behind you and the other guy will push you over the top, right? Jerks, right? People who make fun and pick and just annoy. Anybody got an annoying brother or sister? Knows how to push your buttons, maybe? Okay? I had some people like that at school, right? Which is really good at making fun and making you frustrated. Sometimes it's really hard to keep a cool head when that happens. Here's an interesting quote from this guy, Booker Washington. Says, I defy any man to make me hate. That he was really, really, really trying hard to love his neighbor as himself and not let people rouse in him this anger toward another race. All right, some of you already mentioned this idea of this golden rule, doing unto others or loving your neighbor as yourself. We're just going to kind of cruise through there. The fill in there is God's. So a simple rule of truth for behavior. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you and then grab the initiative and do it for them. Add up what God's law and prophets, this is what you get. That's the message version of basically love God and love people. I think Shane mentioned this one kind of just about sacrificing and putting others first. Look not only to your own interests but also the interests of others in Philippians 2. And then the best definition of success is helping others succeed. So I had a good example I wanted to give you of a friend of mine who you know, and her name is Alyssa. Everybody say, hi, Alyssa. So I wanted to give you an example of a friend who sacrificed for me. There was a year in youth group where I got hurt, and we were playing centipede dodgeball. I landed on a basketball, jacked my ankle up really, 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 really bad, and was on crutches for like weeks and weeks. Had to go on a mission trip like a week after that, and so I'm on crutches at Miracle Camp, which is not fun. Right, trying to get around to the different work sites. And on more than one occasion, I was frustrated and struggling to get up the hill or to get through the... I think this particular one, Alyssa was... we were at the beach, and I couldn't get through the sand with my crutches and hold my stuff and all that. And she's helping me. She lets me lean on her. She's helping me get through some of our projects. And I just remember that whole week that Alyssa was like a super good friend to me and was sacrificing her time and energy and made my trip easier. Because I was really having a rough time. Anybody ever been somehow incapacitated, whether it was a physical ailment like you got sick or maybe you got injured or maybe you had some other health problem? And in those moments, you can be super needy. You just need a lot of friends or at least one good one to help you out. And Alyssa was that for me on that trip. So thank you, Alyssa. That was cool. If you see somebody in need like that, help them out, you know? That's just an example from me on that trip was a really meaningful to me. Maybe you've got friends in your life who are struggling physically, maybe just to walk and get through the day, or maybe emotionally they're having a really hard time and you could be a good friend to them. Or maybe it's some other need that they might have. Oh, there's a picture of some crutches. Nice. All right, so how do you choose your friends? Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. What does that mean? Okay, and good friends will do what for your future, and bad friends will do what for your future? Well, they're both going to influence your future, but how will they influence your future? Right, yeah. So think about that, though, seriously. If the people you hang with are not good for your character, they're not good in building you up in your faith, building you up in your life, they're probably going to pull you down, right? And vice versa, if you've got some good people in your life, it's going to help you. All right, become wise by walking with the wise. That's one of your memory verses, too, which is a good one. We're going to actually say this one out loud together, Proverbs 13:20. So say this with me. He who walks with the wise. Oh, you guys sound like you're half asleep. You're ready to go home, aren't you? Yes, you're ready for me to be done. I understand. Say this with me really loud. He who walks with the wise, grows wise. But a companion of fools suffers harm. You like that? Yeah, Proverbs 13:20. All right, what does that mean? A companion of fools suffers harm. If you got a bunch of idiots that you hang with, you're probably going to do idiotic things, right? And you're going to end up regretting it. But if you hang with people who are wise, people who have good values, hopefully you're going to build that into your character too. All right, we're going to cruise through. Here are just some barriers to friendship or maybe some negative things that happen in friendship. Not going to spend a lot of time on this. One thing that can come up in your friendships could be bitterness. All right, we're going to go on to the next one. Having a critical spirit. A person with a critical spirit has a low self-image. Another obstacle or barrier to friendships can be gossip. There's some fill-ins for you. Self-image, genuine, and fool. And then this is a really good verse, Proverbs 16:28. A gossip separates close friends. What is gossiping? Talking about somebody, what? In a good way? In a bad way? To their face? No. Not usually. Behind their back. Talking negatively about someone behind their back. Okay, that's a pretty good definition of gossip. Or spreading things that aren't true about somebody, right? So I think a lot of times we can get caught up in telling other people's business that maybe we shouldn't, right? Or listening to gossip that maybe we shouldn't be a part of. Gossip is clearly condemned in Scripture, yet we come up with all sorts of ways to rationalize it, really. For example, maybe you share it as a prayer request. Oh, man, did you hear what so-and-so did with so-and-so last night? Oh, my gosh, we should pray for them because they were doing this, blah, 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 right? Maybe we don't need all the details, right? I think praying is cool, but I don't think talking about people's business is necessarily a good thing, right? Anybody at your school gossip? Okay. Yeah. Let me ask you, in the last 10 years, what is some new media that has come about that is helping people gossip faster and faster and faster and more and more and more? Okay, Twitter, Instagram, any social media, Facebook, yeah, okay, Snapchat, sure. All right, so let me pause for a minute. I want to say about 2 minutes on digital friendships, okay? How clean are your posts that you make? How clean are the texts that you send? Because some of the stuff that I've read online from you on Facebook or on Instagram or texting, messaging, whatever it might be, I'm like, wow, that's wrong. That's inappropriate. That's not cool. Didn't know that about you. Didn't need to know that about them. Wow, this should have been done face-to-face, not in public. Right? So let me ask you, do you think about the things that you post and send and text and write? In your mind, are you like, wow, I'm in public, I should be careful about what I say? Or is it easier to cuss at somebody when it's just digital? Because they don't, you know, you can't get that back, right? Or maybe you're sending inappropriate pictures. Or maybe you're receiving inappropriate pictures. Or maybe you're blabbing about somebody's business that you shouldn't be. Or maybe you're talking bad about your friends, or maybe it's your enemies. Okay, maybe it's your family that you're just whatever. I would say stop. Clean it up. And be careful. The things you post, the things you text, the things you say, the images you look at and send, be very, very careful with what you're doing online. Because you represent God in your communication. Whether you like it or not, if you put your faith in Jesus, you are. And so you need to represent better and well. Because I think some of you guys have hurt one another in your communication. And I think there's people who aren't in our group because of some hurt feelings in communications. Yeah, so I would say be careful about what you post. And I'll be honest, there's about 2 years ago, the schools cracked down on a group of guys that were sending inappropriate pictures of girls from the school. They'd gotten the pictures from girls, and then they were distributing them to more and more friends, okay? And like a whole bunch of them got busted by the police. Because you think it's Instagram, you think the picture's gone, and they went back and looked up and pulled up all these guys' logs of their phone records, right? And they got in trouble. So I would say not just that, just be careful, be respectful, don't be an idiot, be cautious with your social media. All right, enough about that. All right, here's a good test for is it gossip or not. First, is it true? If you don't know if it's true or not, then don't keep passing it along, okay? Is it necessary? Like, how many of you guys have heard, like, too much information from somebody? A little TMI, a little too much, like, I didn't need to hear about that, okay? Is it necessary, and does it glorify God? If the person was there, and Jesus was there, and they saw your communication, how would they respond to it? Okay? It's a good gut check. And would you want people saying that about you? Right? If we're going to love one another, just be cautious, be careful. All right, we're going to cruise through this. Judging your friends is another pitfall to be careful of, to avoid. This is an interesting quote from Henry Adams. Says, every man should have a fair-sized cemetery in which to bury the faults of his friends. What does that mean? We're not burying our friends in the cemetery, but we're burying what? Forgive your friends quickly, yeah. And have a large space, a large plot of land to forgive the offenses of your friends. You know, we're all going to screw up. We're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to perhaps hurt one another in some way. But the more we can be loving and forgiving about it, I think the longer our friendships may last. And it avoids that first thing we talked about, which was bitterness. All right, we're going to cruise through those. The fill in there is same. Maybe you've got some wounded relationships. Maybe you've got some relationships that are broken or hurt. Maybe there's some unforgiveness. Maybe there's some people in your life that you need to go and forgive. And maybe this could be a good time to say, hey, you know what? We used to be friends, but we're not anymore. Hey, I'm sorry for how I treated you. Maybe you go back and try to heal some offenses. I wanted to end with a quick little story, I guess. All right, this is a story about sand and stone. It says, a story is told about two friends who are walking through the desert. In a specific point in the journey, they had an argument, and one of the friends slapped the other one in the face. Psh, ow! The one who got slapped was hurt and said nothing, but he wrote in the sand, today, my best friend slapped me in the face. They kept walking until they found an oasis where they decided to take a swim. The one who got slapped and hurt started to drown, and his friend saved him. When recovered from the scare, he wrote on a stone, today my best friend saved my life. So the friend who saved and slapped his best friend asked him, why after I hurt you did you write it in the sand, and now that I did something nice for you, you wrote it in stone? And the other friend smiled and replied, well, when a friend hurts us, we should write it in the sand where the winds of forgiveness can easily erase it away. But when something great happens, we should engrave it in the stone of the memory of the heart where nothing can erase it. So learn to write your wrongs in the sand. What do you think of that? Might be a good rule of thumb. I think sometimes it's really hard to hold on to the negative. Really easy to remember the offense and to stay hurt for a long time. So learning to forgive. Here's the last little challenge. Are you a taker or a giver in your friendships? Do you just take from the other people in your life? Or do you actually give back and try to help the people around you? All right? We're not going to get through it all. I'm just going to give you the quick little fill-in. You guys, we're going to jump to life groups. We've got granola bars for your snack tonight. I hope you have some rich conversation about friendship. Let me pray for us and ask God to bless your friendships as you pursue the people in your life. And ask God for help to do that. God, we want to ask for your strength. Sometimes it's not easy to be a good friend, and sometimes it's hard. God, would you give us strength to be good friends to people, people in our lives that need it? And God, would you place good friends in our life? If we've got some bad friendship groups going on in our lives, God, would you help us to steer away from those and to invest in some new friendships? God, would you protect us from bad friendships, and would you help us to be I guess, loving and caring and kind and the qualities of God that you would have us be in our friendships? Would you protect us from the negative stuff of bitterness and anger and unforgiveness? Would you help us to forgive quickly and often? God, we ask for your strength to be friends, and we pray that you bless our youth group with deep, rich, godly friendships that help them grow. Friends that are willing to be sandpaper if needed, but also willing to give us a hug when we need it too. We pray in your name. Amen.